Hello, connected parents, and welcome to another episode of Connected Parenting. Today, I'm going to talk about divorce. So it's a reality. It happens. So many families go through it. One of the biggest questions that parents have is, how do I tell my kids? So in this episode, we're going to explore how to tell your children, the do's and don'ts, and how to navigate what is an incredibly challenging process. But honestly, in my opinion, it's not the divorce that messes up the kids. It's how the parents handle themselves during that divorce that makes the biggest difference.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Caleri. I'm a child and family therapist and a parenting coach and the founder of Connected Parenting. And welcome to the Connected Parenting Weekly Podcast. Join me every week and we'll tackle everything from temper tantrums to bedtime to sibling issues to teenage angst. Parenting can be so wonderful, but it can be so hard. Parents often say to me, hey, can you just come live at my house? This is the next best thing. Let's do this together.
Okay, so you've arrived at the very difficult decision to divorce, and I'm sure you did not take that lightly. What I often say to parents when I'm working with families or I'm doing marital therapy, that you want to sort of keep doing everything you can until you can really look at each other and say, we've tried everything. We are better off as friends. We are better off separate. So even though you're not married, you're co-parents and you will be raising your children forever together. So even if the divorce is very challenging and very difficult, you have to come together for your kids. Because as I said in the intro, it's not really the divorce that causes the problem. So that definitely has an impact on kids for sure. And kids sort of always carry around that wish that their parents would get back together or stay together. Even adult kids sometimes wish that about their parents, but it is the fighting and the talking about the other parent and the negative comments that really cause the psychological damage. So in this episode, I really want to focus on what you can do to mitigate some of that. So the best thing to do when you're telling your children, and I would hope that you would also have some support that you're getting, it's really important to have someone who can coach you through this, or, you know, a marital therapist or someone who can sort of guide you on this. But the kind of overview is, you want to have all the difficult conversations first with each other. You don't want to be bringing the kids into the scenario until you're really clear that you're ready, that you're serious about this, that it's definite, and you've already had some preliminary conversations about what that is going to look like. And then you rehearse this. It's very difficult because it's often difficult to be together, but some of the most beautiful, inspiring things I have seen in my practice is two parents who come together because of how much they love their children, and practice this and get it right. It makes a huge, huge difference. So the best thing to do is have it rehearsed, practice what you're going to say. I mean, I don't want it to sound like it's, you know, word for word rehearsed, but you want to have a sense of what you're saying. You don't want to be thinking about that and inventing that while you're stressed, while you're, you know, thinking about how your kids are hearing your message. So the number one message is just say it, get it out quickly. Don't beat around the bush. Gather the kids together, tell them how much you love them. Tell them you will always be their parents, but this is the decision that we have made. Tell them that this is really something you have thought long and hard about, that you've tried really hard to come together and have come to the conclusion that you're better off separate, that you are better people separately from each other, you'll be better parents separately from each other, that you are always going to be in union in terms of parenting them and loving them. And that for the first little while, I really recommend, if this is possible, for the first few months, that things stay as similar as they possibly can. So if you can try really hard, if circumstances allow, to try and have birthdays and holidays, if they're coming up, sort of major things. If you can try to keep those the same, even though you're separating, try to still go to games and practices and try to show up together and show your kids that you can be with each other. You don't have to fight. You can make conversation and things can look amicable. That's really important. That's one of the things kids get really, really afraid of. And this is why you may need some coaching on this. But really trying to keep things the same for the first little while. And then when it's time to be in separate houses, the two houses do not have to look exactly the same. There can be differences, and that's okay. Kids can handle things being different at mom's house and dad's house. You want to have some of the basic things the same, like sort of major rules around electronics, bedtime, things like that. So in the beginning, that's sort of the what I meant by trying to keep things the same. If you are getting another apartment or house, involve the kids in that, you know, help them see it, help them plan what it's going to look like, get them involved and have some connection to what that new space is going to be like. It is so important that when you are doing that handoff, whether you're living in the same house for a little while or you have a separate residence, is to really try as hard as you can to not speak badly about the other. It's the divorce is difficult, but it's the words that you say about each other. It's the split, it's the pulling that children feel because they love you both very much and they don't want to pick a side. They don't want to have to pick a side. Sometimes kids get so overwhelmed and so black and white, they'll pick a side because they just cannot handle the negative talk and the disagreements and the, your dad says this, and that's because your mother does that. I know that parents love their children so, so much. And it's really one of the primary things parents worry about during a divorce. If your children were sick and they needed treatment and they needed help, you would do everything possible to get them healthy, to protect them and keep them safe. I cannot stress enough that speaking badly about the other is one of the most dangerous, psychologically damaging and stressful things that you can do to your children. So you want to save those conversations for friends, for mediation, for your lawyer, you know, for your family. Get it out because you're obviously very stressed and you've gotten to a point where decoupling and separating is your only option. But in front of the children, you cannot speak that way. There's no way for me to emphasize this enough. You wouldn't go up and slap your child in the face. When you say something negative about your ex to your kids, you are slapping them in the face. So really try hard not to do that. You can really work on having your home be what I call the compass facing north. So in your home, you're following all the connected parenting. It would be great if both houses were doing this, but you want to make sure, don't worry about your spouse, your ex, worry about yourself. Make sure that you're being as neutral as possible. You're doing a ton of baby play and limbic bonding to help really heal the kids as they're going through this really traumatic time in their lives. Be prepared for some extra behaviors and some challenges and some difficulties. I highly recommend that kids get counseling or support while this is going on. It's a really difficult time for them. Kids handle this in very different ways. I would have to say from being through this with many, many families that the first 6 months is the most difficult. In the beginning, and this kind of varies with kids, but in general, kids handle it better than you think they're going to. And then it's about 6 months later when they realize, oh, this is really happening. This is the way that my life is going to be. This is permanent. I really do live in two different houses. Then you'll see more of a reaction. You'll often see a delayed response to that. The first year can be really challenging. I call it the year first. So the first birthdays and the first holidays and the first summer breaks and Christmases and Hanukkahs and whatever holidays you celebrate, that can be really difficult. So if it's possible, if you guys can work it out at all to do some of those things together for the first few months, that really helps. After a while, it becomes weird, unless it's, you know, really normal and you can handle it beautifully. Trying to stay together and do these things together too long past the first few months can be strange, and the kids will actually realize that that may not be so normal, but in the very beginning, I would try to keep it the same. in the conversation, to loop back to this part, when you're having the conversation with them, when you're telling them what's going on, be prepared for anything. Some kids don't say much. Some kids go crazy and cry. Some kids have a huge tantrum and scream, no, 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 this can't be happening. And you think you know what kind of reaction your child is going to have, and they have a completely different one sometimes. So really try very hard to be around for that whole evening when you're talking to them. Be prepared to have multiple conversations with them about it. It is best to do it together. I highly recommend, if you can do this, if you can stand it, if it's a safe enough situation, depending on what the circumstances are, that you hold hands, that you look affectionate with one another. That's very reassuring and really helpful for the kids. You can't really predict what the kids are going to say, but be prepared for anything and try not to get too sucked into their behaviors, you know, controlling their behaviors. They need to have the reaction that they're going to have. And then you want to be having one-on-one conversations with the kids as well. You want to let people know in their lives, you know, teachers and coaches, and you want to sort of let them know what's happening. Be really careful not to tell people in their outside life before you've told them. Don't tell, you know, anyone officially. The kids should be the first really to hear it, other than very, very close family or aunts and uncles or sisters that you can really trust. And then just kind of be prepared for everything, really up the baby play. If it's possible to clear your schedules and really have not a lot going on that week for the first, you know, week or two after you've told them, can be really helpful. So you're not extra stressed with things going on in your life. If it happens to be a situation where there is a new partner involved, in the scenario, I highly recommend that you are not introducing them to anyone new, at least for the first 6 months. I even recommend a year. And that's a whole podcast in itself, how to introduce that person into their lives. But it's really important, I think, to not introduce anyone prematurely into the relationship. I highly recommend having a mediator or someone who can coach you through coming up with a parenting plan that works for everyone. Certainly going through the money part is really, really difficult, but making these plans and organizing how your lives are going to work with two households can be incredibly challenging. So getting help, getting counseling, or having a mediator help you to do this is really, really important. It is certainly best if you can be flexible. That is not always easy to do, but having some kind of flexibility, which requires reasonable communication, which you may not have, that might be one of the reasons why you're divorcing in the first place. But if you can dig incredibly deep and find a way, at least for the first few months, to work together and show your children that you love them, that you are still a family, you just have a different living arrangement, that you are friends for as much as possible, and that you can come together on really important issues, that is what your children need to know. You can use the mirroring technique. So if they're complaining about their dad or they're complaining about mom, instead of jumping on the bandwagon saying, I know she did that to me too, blah, 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 because you are damaging your children when you do that. You are smacking them in the face when you do that. You have to mirror. So go back and listen to the first couple of podcasts where I break down the mirroring technique. You might even want to think about investing in the course that walks you through it. You're going to be having very difficult conversations with your children, and you want to mirror to them. You want to connect with them. You want to listen to them without necessarily agreeing with them. Mirroring is not about agreeing. It's about getting and making sure that your home is that compass facing north. You are at 12 o'clock as much as possible, with that loving detachment and that neutrality to help them navigate what is a very challenging time for them. At the same time, you have to take care of yourself. You need enough support and help for yourself. The really important takeaway here is try to come together as much as possible. Try to be partners and parenting partners as much as you possibly can, and keep the negative talk away from the kids. Be really careful with emails. texting, conversation. You never know how clever kids are. I've had so many kids who have been hacking into their parents' emails and see all kinds of stuff that they shouldn't see, or they open something and it's there. Really be careful and guarded about all your information about emails and conversations to lawyers or family members. Please guard that all very, very carefully. Kids seeing that out of context or prematurely can be a huge problem. Watch any conversations you're having when you're talking about your ex. Make sure you're in the car or in the garage, or the kids are actually asleep. They have very big ears. They're listening when you think you are not listening. So really make sure that you're being very, very careful about those private conversations, which are incredibly important to you. You need them. You know, circling those wagons is essential to your mental health and your and the support that you need going through this difficult time. But be very, very careful about little ears. Kids are listening. So highly recommend, again, that you get support, help, mediation, that the kids get individual therapy. I think that's really important during such a difficult time. There are agencies that will help you with this. Also, if money is an issue, talk to the school, see what resources you can find. Often schools, public schools, even private schools too, have psychologists. They have social workers that are attached to the school that can help your child if money is an issue. There's lots of resources and books to read, but these are sort of the foundational things that you need to follow when you are beginning to redefine yourselves as a family. So thank you so much for listening today. Please go to connectedparenting.com. There's tons of resources there. We do have online courses that are really an on-demand resource for you that will help you with kind of the background skills and support that you need when you're going through such a challenging time. We also have an amazing team of connected parenting therapists and parenting coaches who can help you during this process, during any of your parenting, but through a separation or divorce. Thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate knowing that you're out there, and I will see you next time on the next episode of Connected Parenting.